In either British or American chronology, it is impossible to fully separate Iraq from Kuwait, which was carved out of Iraq, or Iran, which shares an 800-mile border with Iraq. After World War II, when Washington gained precedence within the Western Alliance, the American CIA, not British intelligence, stage-managed the 1953 overthrow of elected Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mozadeh. His principal transgression had been to nationalize the British-owned Anglo-Iranian oil company, although Washington also feared Soviet influence. Under the restored Shah, Reza Pahlavi, Iran then became a client state principally of the United States. Anglo-Iranian oil, although readmitted at the head of a new consortium, was obliged to yield a 40% share to U.S. oil firms. Recently, it has come to light that U.S. intelligence also planned a coup in 1959 against Iraqi Prime Minister Abdul Karim Qasim, like Mozadeh, a nationalist. The effort, which came to naught, allegedly included hiring a 22-year-old named Saddam Hussein. By the 1960s, the strategic importance of the entire Persian Gulf to the United States had been defined and upheld by a series of presidents beginning with Franklin D. Roosevelt. The underpinning for each expression of White House concern was just what had motivated Whitehall: oil. The events since 1973 are reasonably well known. In 1979, Iranian radicals overthrew the Shah, taking 53 American embassy employees hostage. President Carter's helicopter rescue mission to get them back failed, but they were released on the day in 1981 when Ronald Reagan was inaugurated. Between 1980 and 1988, as Iraq and Iran fought a war over boundary issues with a subtext of oil geography, the United States, Britain, and several other nations were selling arms to both sides. At the same time, Washington and London cooperated in clandestine arrangements to provide Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein with dual-use materials that facilitated Iraq's pursuit of chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons. William Safire, the New York Times columnist and former Republican White House aide, labeled the behavior of the United States, Britain, and Italy as Iraqgate, and refused to support George H.W. Bush for re-election in 1992 because of his backstairs involvement in it. In retrospect, the two Iraq wars of 1991 and 2003 displayed striking parallels. Both Iraqgate and the 2002-2003 imbroglio over alleged weapons of mass destruction produced lackluster investigations in Washington, by congressional bodies, and London, by law lords. Both invasions were lubricated by deceits. In the first instance, regarding the Iraqi armored threat to Saudi Arabia and the fabrication that Iraqi invaders had ripped 300 premature Kuwaiti babies from hospital incubators. In the second, involving the unsustainable charges that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Former CIA desk officer Pelletier minces few words on this, saying that the behavior of the Americans and British in the run-ups to both wars bore a disturbing similarity to the big lie used by the Germans in launching World War II. At very least, both governments have been deceitful toward their respective publics. They are manipulative towards them to an extreme degree. Unfortunately, as we can see, this behavior goes back nearly a century. While both governments have talked of Arab freedom and self-determination, the reality has more often involved a chorus of onward Christian soldiers, or onward oil producers, with a persistent allegro of punitive aerial bombing. Perhaps the last word should go to the late scholar Edward Said. Every single empire, in its official discourse, has said that it is not like all the others, that its circumstances are special, that it has a mission to enlighten, civilize, bring order and democracy, and that it uses force only as a last resort.